podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, John and Marlena's wedding rocks Days of Our Lives, there's catfights on The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful, and Cassandra Foster causes problems on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hello.
Mike Jubinville, welcome.
Hola.
And Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
Hello.
So, Days of Our Lives was amazing, but I think we're going to save the best for last. So, let's talk a little bit about the other soaps first. There were a couple of catfights that took place on the soaps this last week. One big one that happened was on The Young and the Restless between Phyllis and Summer. Phyllis found out from Kyle what Summer's plans were for Billy and confronted her daughter, and Summer had no shame. Jillian, what'd you think of that whole storyline and how it played out?
Phyllis versus Summer seems to be... It just comes out of nowhere. I mean, let me just start with the positive. You know, Gina Tognoni was fire. Hunter King held her own. I mean... You know, she couldn't overtake Gina in any scene, but, you know, Gina did that. But at the same time, you know, when Phyllis is asking where this is all coming from, why are you doing this? I'm waiting for Summer to say something like, I don't know, this is for that time that you tried to seduce Kyle when you thought he was my brother, but he wasn't, or whatever. We don't get why Summer's doing it when she just said because she was old and all this other BS. It's still random. I don't mind, like I told someone online, because they were like, you know, I don't have a problem with Summer being a vixen. I don't have a problem with her being a vixen either, because to me it fits for her to be a vixen now. That innocent doe-eyed thing that she was doing was obnoxious. Her being a vixen is pretty cool, but we need a reason why she's going after Billy, why she's going after Phyllis, not because Phyllis is old. I'm like, why are you so hell-bent on ruining your mother's life? We don't have the information at all, and it's just so frustrating that this show is setting up something that could be good, but, you know, I need to know. I have to know why. It just can't be because Phyllis is old. That just can't be it. It has to be some reason why that girl did it. Did Phyllis find out that she was fucking a married man? Did Phyllis tell the married man's wife and Summer found out? We need to know why, because the reason behind her antics is just so, it's just ridiculous.
And the thing that I thought was interesting about that, those scenes and that dynamic, and I agree with what you're saying, is that a lot of this just seems to be in Summer's head, her own delusion. And in some regards, I wonder if we're going to go down a path of her like losing it, because some of it seems that way. But then at the same time, the things that she used for arguments against her mother about her mother's past and everything that she'd done were set in history and are valid arguments if you're going to have an issue. I sort of like the Summer Billy dynamic, but I do agree with you that it's felt like the foundation on which this story and concept is being sold is a little soft.
They don't even, well, you saying her, you know, you saying that she may have been hinting about some mental illness or something, they're not even, no, I don't even see that happening, because the groundwork hasn't been laid for that. She not seeing things, she not talking to herself, we're not getting any mysterious phone calls from doctors saying that Summer's on her meds, nothing. We don't have any indication of that, so that's totally out.
The way I was looking at it is like a little bit mental. I was meaning, so think of like the obsessive characters like Teresa on Passions. Technically, she was not diagnosed, but she was always like a little bit insane about Ethan Crane, or you have those type of characters. So I feel like they might be doing that with Summer.
My thing with Summer is I agree with Jillian 100%. I still don't know why she is having this issue with her mother. Now, she gave, like you said, Luke, she gave valid explanation for her upbringing in childhood, but these would explain her actions as a teenager. She's an adult now. She's been married. She's been, you know, had an adult life away from home. So for her to come back with these childlike, childish issues doesn't make sense to me. And it doesn't make sense to me either. I hate to go this route because it just annoys me. General Hospital just did this whole thing on sexual harassment and Me Too. Then you have poor Billy, who looks so uncomfortable with this girl just constantly throwing herself in a world of no means no. Bitch, back the fuck off. It's just
you really think CBS gonna go, like I said, CBS ain't going there. Look, I'm just gonna keep it real.
Yeah,
CBS ain't going there.
In light of what's happening at the top of CBS, I don't think CBS they're gonna do that. Nope.
Get out of here. But like you bringing up Teresa, we had little hints of when Ethan used to be nice to Teresa. Teresa took it to the next level. Like
right.
When Ethan would be like, and when she fell and Ethan caught her and was like, oh, you're all right, are you okay, and walk away, she would have grandeur in her mind. We don't have that at all with Summer. Billy has told Summer, bitch, I don't want you. She is still trying to, you know, you want me. We don't have any of that. We don't have a reason why this girl is acting this way.
See, I thought in response to that, I guess I sort of thought, like, when she came back and was gambling and was having the money problems, because this, like you said, is not a great basis, I feel like that was their attempt to give her some sort of like admiration of Billy because he saved her ass a couple times, and then it just sort of steamrolled from there. But I feel like at the moment I'm sort of like Mike and I'm filling in details about a story to try and make it make sense,
just like how you clown Mike for that.
Well,
I'm a clown for that. Don't you do that.
Well,
don't
no,
you
but like but what I'm saying is
no,
that
no,
I'm not trying to fill in details, but what I'm saying
you
is
you just said you did you
what
just
I'm
said
saying
you
is those are the hints that have made me think that she might become a little bit obsessive.
You just said you did. Like, pick a lane. If you that's what you think, pick a lane. No one's going to...
I like all kinds of lanes, Jillian.
Well, pick a lane. Pick a lane. You just like to... One thing I notice about you, when we having these debates, you want to flip-flop. That's what you think. Fine. We just going to have to clown you. But no, like... I get what you're saying. I could see if it was more like that and she's developing something more in her head. She's not. And Billy has told her straight up, I'm only doing this to protect your mom from what a fuck up little slut monkey you are, you little tartlet. But there's nothing else. She just thinks it's a big game. And I'm like, we don't have no rhyme or reason. If it was some situation that just made her snapped or something, we need to know. This whole cat, the game is good, but at the same time, it falls flat because you don't have a reason why. You don't have a reason why. Like, if you're mad about your childhood, it's like, bitch, you need to lay on some couch because you should. Because I'm like, you act as though you have this perfect childhood and your mom screwed it up. I'm like, you were born as a result of an affair. So, miss, like, come on now. You trying to teach lessons that you really should not be handing out lesson plans for.
Josh, one of the interesting dynamics of the Phyllis versus Summer standpoint was both the before and after the fight. Kyle basically let Phyllis know what Summer was up to. And then after the fight took place, Summer revealed to Kyle about the whole gambling the boat. And so you have this, they've intertwined those two stories. I haven't been a big fan of like the whole bet between Summer and Kyle, in part because I feel like Summer's motivation is weak, but how that's factored in now, you can see what they're trying to weave. What did you think of the cat fight? What do you think of Kyle's involvement in everything?
Kyle is the most interesting part of it to me because he's playing both ends. He really does kind of like Summer. He has a soft spot for her, but he wants to take over Jabot. He's trying to, I mean, he's working with Ashley, but he's really trying to undercut, I think, everybody, and he wants to get to the top of Jabot to get what he thinks is his.
Yeah, Kyle is all about self.
Yeah, totally. And I love it because he owns it.
Yeah. And
also, going with that, the interaction he had with Lauren Fenmore this week, there's some potential there. I'm not saying it has to be romantic or sexual or anything, but I liked them together. Where she was appealing to his sense of I'm out for myself. She liked it. She said, get on board with me and I'll make it worth your while. There was some good chemistry there, just acting chemistry.
Well, yes. And we know, like, she likes some younger sausage.
You know, if they're not going to do anything with him but waste him with Summer and her shenanigans, I'm like, come on. The chemistry is there. Y'all ain't doing nothing with Tracy Bregman. And she ages like fine damn wine. Come on. Yes. Do something with her. Like, have Kyle do her. Like, come on. That would be that. But the Summer versus Kyle thing, I get the vibe I get with that is more cruel intentions. To me, it's that I get, like, they're doing like a throw. To me, it feels like a throwback of Cruel Intentions, but, like, you know, with a different twist. Instead of screwing the virgin, you're going to screw your mom's boyfriend and blow up her life. And, you know, if you win, you get his car. If I win, I get to tap you. And, that's how it feels. It feels like Cruel Intentions.
Isn't this the third movie or TV show they've stolen the plot for? They get big lies and.
That's how they roll over there. If I didn't know that Mal was running that show, I'd be like, Maria, girl, you back. So, she needed her Netflix account locked. But
maybe the passwords are being shared, because I read an article about how they're going to be cracking down on password sharing for HBO Go, Netflix, and Hulu. So maybe that.
There must be a company one, and she got a hold of it, and I don't know. But I get a Cruel Intentions vibe of it. But Kyle and Lauren, that just had me like, ooh, like, come on. Like, what are we doing? We're wasting this young man. This girl is not going to be here that long. She's only going to be here for a short period of time. I don't, you know, because she's going to be doing life in pieces soon. Like, don't waste him being hung up on Summer, because when she first came back and she was trying to throw it at him, he was like, girl, please, like, back up. I'm not hearing that. But then they have him trying to get at Mariah, but Mariah's into Kitty Town. Like, what are you doing? They just don't seem to know what they're doing with this young man. And I'm just like, this is going to be another Kyle that y'all have on y'all roster that's good looking, can't act.
It's gonna be another Blake Hood is what it's gonna be.
They're going to waste him. He is going to, they gonna mess around and he gonna book another role and be out. Like, they need to stop.
The Young and the Restless wasn't the only soap that had a cat fight. Because of the fact that Days of Our Lives was so good and we want to spend most of the episode on it, we're going to only be covering the other ones briefly this week. But Josh, what did you think about Taylor versus Brooke?
I think, thank God they did that, because the rest of that week was boring.
I thought the week was kind of interesting.
Wedding, right? Because Liam and Hope and Liam and Steffi and Wyatt and Hope and Wyatt and Steffi have all been married multiple times to each other.
I thought given new meaning to the word white wedding.
I thought it was, you know, it was a better wedding. I thought that Brooke and Taylor was fun. They kind of like, they had fun with it. It was fun. They showed some of the behind the scenes. CBS did. That was kind of fun. On Twitter, I saw some clips. But I still don't buy Steffi being peaceful woman sitting in the back. Oh, I'm so glad that you're getting married, and I'm so peaceful with it. And Hope's like, I'm so glad to welcome you and Kelly into our gigantic family. Child, please.
It's like no. Sister wives almost.
Yeah, I need Steffi to be mad. Or not mad at them, but or just be done. Like, I had an idea that it was never going to happen, but I wanted Steffi, Taylor, and help me, Rena Sofer. She's never on, so I can't remember her character.
Quinn.
I wanted them to be off in a different place, having cocktails and talking shit about those women over at the wedding.
And that would actually be something interesting on The Bold and the Beautiful. Jillian, it was very stark contrast for me this last week, because on one hand you have Days with this amazing wedding and everything that is built up to it. And then at Bold, you flip over to Bold and the Beautiful and you're watching the umpteenth wedding between one of these two couples. And there's no meaning, value, or import on A Bold and the Beautiful Wedding anymore because they happen so often and they and the marriages last so long.
Lord, you and these questions. Fly it home, Luke, fly it home. What you want to ask me?
What did you think of what did you think of the wedding and the cat fight this last week?
Shit, that's all you had to ask me. I'm like, what is he asking me? Like, I feel like I'm back in my SAT days. The wedding was... I mean, the way how B&B has everybody getting married all the time, the wedding didn't mean anything to me. It just, I just felt like, okay, another Caucasian wedding, okay. I don't care. I don't care. The other day, this boy was going to marry Steffi. Then before that, the other day, he was going to marry Hope. I don't care. I do not care, Sam I Am. I do not care that they're green eggs and ham. I don't care. The wedding did not, no. I feel as though Steffi... I feel like Steffi is trying to act like, you know, Miss Independent Woman because she has a daughter now and she does not want her daughter to look at her and be like, Ma, you are so pathetic chasing dad like a fool. Like, I can't believe you would do that. I feel as though Steffi took herself off that merry-go-round and was like, I'm good. I do sometimes wonder, though. I'm like Josh said, when she's all at peace, I'm like, are you setting some shit up that we don't know? But I doubt that because we would have seen them have Steffi say something. You know what I mean? But I don't care about that wedding. I don't care. Like, someone really should have asked. Like, if anything, Taylor, when Taylor was trying to beg for her daughter to get Liam to marry her, I was hoping Taylor would have shrunk Liam and say, you know, what is it with you trying to always get married to someone? You were just married to my daughter 5 minutes ago, and before then you wanted to marry Hope. Like, what is it about you that you have to get married? Like, what is your problem? Like, I wanted them to explore that because they get married at such a bullet. They just get so... Liam always wants to get hitched so fast. It's just like, weddings don't mean shit over there. The cat fight with Taylor and Brooke, I mean, y'all know that was coming. If they, you know, they finally have Taylor and Brooke on the scene, you know them two hoes was going to fight each other over their daughter. So it didn't bother me at all with that. It was kind of cute. I mean, the wedding was just anticlimactic for me. Like, I didn't think Steffi was going to stop it. I thought Steffi was kind of pathetic being at that wedding because ain't no damn way I'm sitting in that wedding watching you marry my stepsister. The hell I look like? I have too much for her saying that she's I Am Woman, hear me war. She didn't have enough pride to tell Hope, nah, I'm gonna sit this one out. I don't care how much Hope tries to, this is for fam. I'd be like, Hope, do you really think that I'm going to sit there and watch you marry my ex-husband? I'm not gonna do that. Yes, we're trying to grow up and be a little bit more smart and put each other first, but I'm just still gonna have this little petty moment and not watch you marry my ex. If you don't like it, too damn bad. I wouldn't have been mad at that, but the wedding was just like, nah. I was more interested in this whole Bill versus Katie and Thorne thing because I feel as though Thorne is projecting shit on Bill and Katie. Like, yeah, we understand, like, we get that Bill's a bad dad, but I'm like, why are you pressuring this girl to file for custody so fast? I'm like, it feels as though, like, he's, like, projecting shit that he wish he could have done with Allie onto this one. So it's going to be interesting to see them two fight it out.
Mike, what did you think of the wedding?
Well, the wedding didn't really have any impact for me. The thing that I did like, of course, like most everybody else, was Taylor and Brooke being at each other's throats. The only thing that I really didn't like so much was that they're making Taylor kind of a little bit crazy when she doesn't have to be crazy to like. I mean, the rivalry in and of itself works, so just let it go. Taylor doesn't have to be crazy Taylor in order for me to enjoy it. But the cake fight was kind of fun, and I love that the girls walked in and they were acting like the mothers and not the daughters. It was kind of role reversal, and they forced them to go out and make the walk of shame. But the thing with B&B this week that I didn't like was the stuff that's going to get worse next week is this custody battle, because Will, who has grown up before our very eyes, is basically, he hasn't been off of Bill's radar. They just make you think that he hasn't been around the kid. Bill wanted to take the kid away from Katie at one point.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the kid and him don't get along, and that just doesn't make sense to me.
No,
so,
that doesn't know. I'm going to have to stop you there, because what they're – I don't have a – like, it's not a situation where Bill – what do I want to say? It's not a situation. I get that Bill wanted custody of Katie, of Will before, but what they're playing out is Bill became so obsessed with Spectra, with Spectra, and with, you know, micromanaging his son's lives and trying to get Steffi. He put all that to the forefront and forgot about Will. I don't think Bill hate, like, Will is like, I don't know you, girl. Like, you know, you haven't been around, so why should I have to pay attention to your ass? I think they planted that seed pretty, if they planted the seed there with Bill being so monopolized by Steffi, they keep having people say little things that they throw the Will thing in there, and it doesn't seem so far-fetched. So I don't have a problem with that at all, because it's kind of ironic that Bill is like, you know, I'm doing everything for my sons and this and that. But it's like, you're giving them financial things. You're not giving them emotional things. Like, you're doing all this stuff for your son, but you don't even spend time with your son. And I think with Will being like, I want to go home, I think Will is just like, I don't know you. Like, I don't want to play stock. Who the hell want to play stock reports as a kid? Who? Like, J.R. Ewing? I'm like, nobody want to play stock reports. I'm like, get out of here.
Well, you know? I guess the thing is, for me, it just kind of – I agree that you're saying that it's been neglected, but it was never really brought up. So to me, it just seems like it's out of left field. And then Thorne interfering when they've only been out to, you know, like on a couple of dates. And
I'm like, Thorne ain't even got the goodies. I don't think so. And you are like, get custody. I'm like, you are just doing a lot. The one that just made me mad about this custody thing, and I'm like, are y'all going back down this merry-go-round again with this bitch? When Brooke said, you're going to take Thorne's, Brill's son away from him? I'm like, girl, Bill tried to destroy your sister several times, and you're still cutting for Bill. So I'm like, are y'all going to reintroduce Brooke? Yeah, I was like, oh God, I cannot. Bill just got off of Steffi. Now he gonna get back on Brooke. I'm like, I cannot. This is why I'm like, B&B needs to slow it down. But Thorne, I'm like, Thorne, you don't even have a key to her house. How you talking about custody? Like, stop it.
Well,
talking about he gonna be that kid's stepfather and how much he loved Katie and Will. I was like, they've been out a minute. How are you gonna be a stepdaddy in love, folks?
Let's talk about General Hospital a little bit, because while the Bold and the Beautiful and the Young and the Restless had cat fights to make things interesting, the Days of Our Lives had an epic week. The General Hospital was just there. And Cassandra Foster's return and apparent import to the story is one that all of us asked for, all of us wanted. I mean, I'm sure that we are
I'm
sure we are all raising our hands in agreement that we wanted Cassandra Foster back. Mike, what did you think of Cassandra Foster in General Hospital this last week?
I just feel so, I mean, I feel like, what is Josh like to say? What did Finola do to, did she take somebody's parking spot by mistake? I don't know. Like, I just.
Josh didn't say that. You said that.
Okay, sorry. I knew I heard it on this podcast at some point.
Don't make me break up y'all happy.
Well, if it makes you feel better, he says it a lot. So it could be mistaken.
I think it's funny.
I just feel like Anna is just wandering in circles with no purpose. And I don't mind her and Finn. I really don't. I just don't understand what Cassandra is bringing to the table that she was so important that she had to come back. I also know that a Cassadine apparently took her. So I'm sure that's going to go into hopefully an interesting direction.
Not the
Cassadine we want. I'm like,
Well, is it ever? Helena's not around. Sorry, Luke.
No, I don't want her back.
Stefan's not around either. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting about that, because as this storyline played out, Jillian has repeated on this podcast on multiple occasions how they could fix and undo the terrible storyline of having Heinrich be Anna's child. And I thought before the Cassandra Foster reveal that that might be where it was going. And then it was revealed that it's Cassandra. And I'm like, fuck. Jillian, what do you think of the story this week?
We still have time. They can still do it. Like, I promise you, like, I swear, if y'all took it and was like, this is what we always plan, I'd let that go. I'd be like, child, that's what they said. Y'all leave them alone. I swear. I mean, Cassandra, we don't know her. We don't have any, like, you know, she's not anybody tied to the canvas. Look, we like Jessica Tuck, but we don't know. Like, Cassandra does not have anybody tied. Like, she's not related to nobody on the canvas. This is just a waste of time and a waste of space. Like, the only, you know, when they said it was a Cassadon, I'm like, Stephen Nichols got a job, I see. And then we hear it may be Victor or whatever. I'm like, oh, God. It's like, I don't understand what's going on over at GH. When they are supposed to go up, they go down. When they go left, you know, we're like, but you're supposed to go right. Like, I don't understand it. And as for that Heinrich thing, I can't say anymore. Like, I saw in an interview floating around out there that it's just like what I said. I knew what Frank was trying to pull when Frank gave this interview with, what's your name is, child? Michael Fairman. He was like, oh, you know, he goes, Wes Ramsey is great. I'm paraphrasing. He's great. He's a great actor. You know, I think there's more for Heinrich. He is Anna's son. He is Robin's brother. He is Maxie's. And I'm like, I see what you're doing. You're so fucking obvious. You're trying to tie him and connect him with people that we care about, hoping that, oh, well, he's cool with, you know, he's related to Maxie through marriage. He's Robin's brother. That's Anna's child. So we automatically are going to care for him. No, we are not. We are not. I don't give a damn if that was Jimmy Lee Holt's boy. I don't know him. I don't like him. No, you still have time to, like, fix it. I don't understand why they are just, like, digging their heels in trying to make this motherfucker gel. And you know what makes it worse? The person who should be really mad at this, not Fanola. No, Fanola, I mean, Fanola should be mad and be like, where I get this old ass boy from? The one who should be mad should be Wes Ramsey, because you set him up to be this character that nobody likes and nobody cares for. It's like dead man walking. It's like you just set him up for failure. Y'all could fix it, but y'all just... Yes, he did not stand a chance. And I'm just like, I don't understand why Nathan Varney has not stepped in yet to say, listen, we looking at these numbers. We looking at online presence. We're looking at things like the messages and the letters and all that, the carrier pigeons. They're not feeling this character being related to this person. So y'all need to fix it. I don't understand why he's not doing that. Like, someone needs to slap Frank's hands and say, no, this is not working. No, I don't get it. I don't get it. And I'm just, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about the hypochondriac drug runner. I'm like, how are you a drug dealer and you a hypochondriac? Like, that is so weird. That's
Josh,
bizarre.
What did you think of GH this week?
I thought every time when I just thought when I saw Cassandra, I thought, why can't this be Faith Roscoe? Why can't we be bringing back Faith Roscoe? Just, yeah. I don't get
Does
it.
Anybody know who has Avery? Is Avery with her father or with?
I don't know what Avery is. Avery probably in college by now. Avery, they're bringing on these people.
I'm just curious because the alarm went off at the Corinthos house and everybody went in shooting poor Mike, and they have they had pulled guns and ran Mike in the house. And I was like, oh, so poor Avery and Mike are going to get shot up.
I don't care. Yeah. Like, see, see all the things that we should be caring about. They're bringing on someone that we don't care, that has no connections to us or nothing. Like, you know, now we supposed to, you know, before when Nina was first introduced to the canvas and she talked about how her, you know, you found out that her mother caused her to lose her child. You know, there were all these red flags around, like, maybe Kiki is that child. Maybe Kiki is that child that she lost. And I was like, that would be so fucking juicy to see that the side hoe that your husband that put all this into play is raising your child. Like, that would have been really juicy stuff. They didn't do it. It's like they're trying, now you're trying to give Nina something, and it's almost as if they're doing it at the last minute to try to like redeem Valentine, because Valentine is all in the mix thinking
another
that her child
character.
Is, you know, it's like they're trying to, once again, they're trying to force us into liking this person, into, you know, they're trying to do a redemption for him because he's a bad guy. Ain't nothing wrong with you being a villain, but you have an Achilles heel, which is your wife. That's nothing wrong with that. Them doing all these zigging and zagging and all these crazy outlandish storylines for us to like said character, it just drives me crazy. You had the history, like with Nina under Ron, you had the history, and you had, I always used to think, okay, did Nina, I always used to think, because the way how they would play things, I was like, is Nina's child out there somewhere? What if it is Kiki? How delicious would that be, that your husband's mistress that ruined your life, that in a sense, put the dominoes in effect to line this up and cause you to miss 20 years of your life, has been raising your child. That would be so, and then you get a Nina versus Ava rivalry that we have been itching to see. We have been dying to see Michelle Stafford versus Maura West, because they are just wasting Michelle Stafford over there. They are wasting her. They are wasting her over mooning over Valentine. I don't care if he found out that Nina has this child. Who cares? Like, it's like you're trying to make us like, oh my God, Valentine did this for Nina. He's a good guy. No, he killed fucking Nicholas. He can still be a rotgut son of a bitch. Like, I don't understand what's going on over there. Like, you know, good morning or good afternoon, America, whatever the fuck y'all calling that third hour is right upon us. Mm-hmm. You would think that GH would be writing as if Shannon Dungey came into that writer's room and she came on that set and said, y'all fuckers got 2 months to get it together or I'm canceling y'all. You would think they would take on that mantra and be like, we gonna write the hell out of this show. We gonna shore up shit. We gonna clean it up and do all this.
They've got the ingredients there.
It's like, you know, you and your bland cooking, it's like y'all got like a chef's paradise over there, but you still don't want to season up your chicken. It's just like, y'all just, I don't understand what's going over there, man. Like, well, y'all need to get it together.
The show that has the recipe and Colonel Sanders seasonings, secret seasonings, is Days of Our Lives, where everything was well-baked and perfectly seasoned for soapy drama. Mike, there was no magic TV required to watch Days of Our Lives, because everything was magical for everyone. What did you think? We talked a little bit about Stacey Hajduk, so let's, on the Performer of the Week, let's talk about her some more so that Jillian gets a chance to weigh in on it. What did you think of Stacey Hajduk as Kristen and Susan?
Well, you know, Eileen Davidson originated the role, so, you know, she's the one that has the character down. But like I said on the other podcast, you have to, if you're going to put somebody else in this role, they have to be somebody that you can trust, that can manage the work, get the character down, and then go in on a big, giant week of hell raising and do the job. And I think she she did what she was supposed to do. Now, I thought, to me personally, I thought Kristen to me was always a little bit more subtle and shady. She came in guns blazing. So for
literally,
me, and I feel like sometimes for me as a viewer, I can only take Susan in small doses. A little Susan for me goes a long way. So, but I thought she did a great job, and I think that they picked the right person for this role because Stacey Hyduk does a great job playing two people, and she does a great job playing somebody who's a little off kilter. So that part was good.
Jillian, what did you think of Stacey?
Well, since Luke ain't do no first impression with her on the site.
No, there is one on the site. Mike put it up on Friday.
Oh, okay. Well, child, let me tell y'all. You know, people were like, when the news broke that Stacey Hyduk, when we broke the news that Stacey Hyduk was coming on Days, I saw a whole bunch of people trying to be shady. Oh, you know, Eileen is the only one. I don't think she gonna do it and this and that. I'm like, y'all know who Stacey Hyduk is? I'm like, y'all tripping? I'm like, it's not as though they hired Vanessa Marcel to play fucking Kristen Susan. I'm like, and that's no shade at Vanessa, but that would be somebody random. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I knew she was going to do the damn thing. And when she came in, I liked the fact that they introduced her as Susan. She came in there and nailed it. She didn't, because to me, I felt as though there were only two speeds with Susan. Someone will come in there and overdo it, and someone will come in there and just make it. Nah. But Stacey gave it the right speed on with Susan. Not too over the top and not too underwhelming, because you don't want to make it look like you're trying to like bite after Eileen or do something else with the character to put your own stank and mark on it. Stacey came in there and nailed it. And when she was revealed as Kristen, I was like, oh, bitch. Like, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I was rooting for Eileen, but I'm like, girls, Stacey got your jobs. She got your jobs. I'm sorry. She took your jobs. If you come up there to try to pull up in the parking spot, security can be like, no mas. Like, Stacey nailed it. She was fantastic. She gelled in there. It's almost as if Stacey's been playing that role for years. You know, somebody was like, oh, Susan and Kristen are Patty Williams combined. I'm like, no, that's not true. I'm like, nuh-uh. I'm like, no, what show were you watching? You full of shit. You trying to diss that woman's acting. I'm like, no, they were not. Stacey nailed it. And I hope they bring her back. I'm like, you know, if Eileen still don't want to come back, they need to tell Eileen, look, girl, like, she got this. And even Eileen was like, she was so classy about her taking over the role online. You know, most actors don't say nothing or they'll try to do a little shade here and there. Eileen was so classy about it. So that's what just made it even more perfect. And I loved it. Oh my God. When Susan came with that Marlena doll, I said, Lord Jesus, this girl and this Marlena doll. That was hilarious. John mimicking fucking Marlena with that doll had me hollering. Oh, I love you so much, John. I said, no, this fool did not just do that. That was hilarious. And when Kristen just came undone and she started reading everyone in that room, including Brady, I was like, tell it, sis. Like, you know, we ain't supposed to be rooting for Susan, but I'm like, tell it, because that town just acts. I find it ironic that all those sweet people of Salem, they all act so saccharine sweet, but they all have huge secrets. Kayla and Jennifer have huge secrets from people. Brady has secrets from people. But, you know, when the OG secret keeper has a secret or something, everybody wants to, like, chastise her and chafe, you know, wag their fingers at her. So it's just funny as hell. And, like, Sammy always trying to tell them to stay woke about Susan and Kristen. But they... I'm like, Marlena, how the hell are you inviting this bitch to your wedding? Like, what is wrong with you? I thought, I was like, Marlena, you suck. Oh, she's okay now. I'm like, girl.
But at the same time, that's where I had the conflict, because if she would have, like, said that about Susan, then everything that she said about Ben would be, like,
exactly.
She can't, like, yeah, she can't, she be contradictory.
No. She not invite. Did she invite Ben to her wedding?
No, but like what she was. Okay, but no, the no, rationale no, for no, inviting no, Susan no, to the wedding was the same rationale that she used for Ben in terms of like both of them have been deemed medically competent.
Yep.
They're fine, and so for what, and then from that point they're on the same page. Her adding her to the wedding is a little bit different.
Nope. Sorry, I don't care if she says he's fine or not. Ben could, you know. She says they're fine. That's cool. You're going to invite them to your wedding? Get the hell out of here. At least have some loyalty, Marlena. I'm like, see, this is why Sammy never fucked with y'all asses.
She invited herself. She assumed that she was going to go, and Marlena didn't say anything.
So Marlena could have told her ass. No, I'm like, this is why Sammy don't fuck with y'all. Y'all ain't loyal.
Josh, before we dive into the rest of the wedding, what are your final thoughts on Stacey Hyduk as Kristen and Susan?
She did the damn thing. I mean, from the start to the finish. I mean, and I said this in the last podcast, but to play Susan and Kristen pretending to be Susan, that was above and beyond the call of duty for somebody jumping into a role with somebody with like Eileen Davidson as the originator. Stacey Hyduk gained her chops on Days of Our Lives in 5 episodes.
What you mean, gained her chops? She brought up.
I mean, she brought it, but I mean, on Days of Our Lives. Like, she jumped in that role, and in 5 days, it's not just Stacey Hyduk playing Eileen Davidson's role. This is Stacey Hyduk's role.
I was going to say, what you mean? She brought, I'm like, boy, you
again? Everybody, yeah. But I was only going with you, is that everybody thought that it was going to be really hard for her.
No. Not after having seen her on YNR. I
knew she was going to nail it. And you know what? Oh, my God. Shout out to Tiggs. Because I'm like, oh, Days, why y'all trolling somebody? Tiggs mentioned that Stacey Hyduk, you know, it's funny that they have Stacey playing Susan, Kristen. Why? Stacey Hyduk used to play Who's Mama on All My Children? James Scott. I'm like, why y'all trolling people? Damn. I'm like, y'all are trolling us out in these streets. I'm like, oh my God. Y'all are messing with people's minds. I'm like, damn, y'all are playing with folk.
Let's talk a little bit about the rest of John and Marlena's wedding. There was a whole bunch of mewing going on from Marlena. She looked wonderful. We had the bachelorette party. We had the bachelorette.
That dream was hilarious.
The dream was great. Barbie doll was good. We're going to talk about Will separately, because that sort of takes us off in another direction. But like his reading at the wedding, where he got his memories back, was a nice touch to bring that full circle, that he's getting his memories back not only at his grandmother's wedding, but at the same time that we end up having Sammy return, which obviously my favorite moment of the last week was Sammy's return.
Dial it down.
Mike, what did you think about everything about the wedding overall, except for the Will and Sunny part? Cause we're going to cover that a bit later.
Well, it was good fun. I mean, Marlena and John have been together for decades, and they've been on the show for decades, and they got to be the front and center for a week's worth of wedding shenanigans, because it was between the dream and the shower and Susan and Kristen. It just was like one thing after another. It was exhausting episodes to watch, really, because there was so much going on, but they were so much fun because it was like action packed, you know,
exhausting in a good way, or exhausting
in a good way,
way.
Definitely a good way.
I was just
gonna
say, sit down and go like soak in some Epsom salt.
No,
I didn't
mean it negatively. I meant
the way Gluke, I'm glad you got him to clean that up, because I'm like, Mike, you about to get ran off this podcast in a minute. Wait, what you talking about? Okay.
But it just was kind of nice to see that they're using their history to bring their family together.
Ooh,
and all these
what were they using, Mike? Say it again. What were they using? What were they using, Mike? Say it again.
Their history.
Say it again, Mike. Say it with some bass. What were they using?
They're using their damn history.
That is what you do.
That's what General Hospital needs to do.
Hello, they are using. Well, Mike, go on about your business. Say what you gonna say, because
basically they were able to take an anniversary date that happened 30 years ago or whatever it was, and make it relevant. And it was just great fun to watch this past week. It really was. So,
Jillian,
and the way. You knew something was going to happen, right? Marlena was not wrong when she was scared that something was going to happen.
Listen, the subtle uses of history from the doll to the date to when they had the teeth flying from Kristen's mouth into Marlena's bouquet. Just the only difference was Susan's teeth flew into Vivian's drink. It was this time, it was, because you know Vivian's supposed to be in the upper room, so whatever. The teeth flew into Marlena's bouquet, and she's like, ew. I was like, oh my God, the little touches of history. Marlena's dream, well, let me back it up. Marlena's dream, I thought that was the most shade-filled dream. Like when Valerie's like, I'm going to sing Up Where They Belong or whatever. And he was like, girl, you ain't no Marilyn McCool. I was like, damn, Abe. I was like, Abe, when did you become this shady? I'm like, I ain't got no problem with it. But I was like, this is just shade. And then when Roman came with that bandage face up, I'm the real John Black. And Marlena's like, okay, this is the love of my life. Okay. I was like, what is going on with Marlena? Is she going through stuff? And then when she was like, I'm Hattie, I was like, oh my God. Deidre Hall's comedic timing is fucking fantastic.
I'm like, awesome.
She needs more of it. That dream sequence was cool. Their bachelor party was kind of lame. I mean, I'm like, Andre Tony, you back to doing these bachelor parties. I'm like, y'all bachelor party was kind of dry. So what's the painting party? I'm like, this is what happens when you up in Salem, USA with these white people. I'm like, Lord, y'all got some dry ass parties. I'm like, ooh, don't you invite me to nothing. I'm good. The wedding was fantastic. What Will is reading, and right when they're creating new memories, I thought it was great that they're creating new memories. His old memories come flooding back to him, and he's just overwhelmed by it. At the same time, well, you know, you don't want to touch upon it, Sonny is having the memories also. And in fab form, Sammy comes busting into that wedding like the fucking mess where she is. She, Ma, you can't do it. Bam, I was like, this is how you do a wedding. This is how you do an episode of this magnitude. You have new characters on there, but they're also using history. There's nothing wrong with you bringing new characters as long as it makes sense and it delves into history. History that we've actually seen, that we've actually heard, something to that effect that you can actually, even if you have to like, tweak history, not just full redact, what is the word I like to say?
Are you retconning or you redacting?
Yes. Yeah. When you retcon something, I'm not saying retcon, but if you tweak history, it will work for you. This is what happens when you, we all praise Ron about that, but you cannot forget Ron, you know, this is no shade to him. I'm just pointing this out because I'm trying to give props to them. Ron does not know the history of that show, but he learned the history of that show. That's something that people need to do. If you don't know the history of the show, there's nothing wrong with you saying, I don't know the history of the show, so I had to study this history of the show. He learned the history of the show. Then you also have people there that know the history of the show. Sherry Anderson knows the history of that damn show. She know that shit in and out. And then Ryan Kwan too. All three of them together makes days fantastic. Ryan Kwan, you know, he gives a, you know, I don't know how old he is, looking at his pictures, you know, and I just want y'all to Google him and y'all gonna have a laugh about the picture. It ain't no shade against him, it's just shade against him. Just Google it. You'll have a good laugh because I sure in the hell did. But he looks a little, you know, I don't know how old he is. I'm assuming, well, I'm just going to guess he's in his 30s, maybe. You know, you have somebody You know, you have somebody young at the helm doing the show. Also, there's nothing wrong with someone young at the show doing things. You're giving a young, fresh perspective on things. All three of them together have made Days of Our Lives so flipping enjoyable and fantastic to watch. I love the fact that Sammy came busting in there ready to, like, you're like, what the fuck? You know, you found, and then see, unlike YNR, you don't know Summer's motives. All Summer keeps saying is, my mama old and Billy needs some young dust in his life. That's all you keep hearing. Sammy came, but you know, we keep wondering why the hell is Sammy not coming to this wedding. When you hear the BS excuse, she's scared, you know, she's ashamed of what she did to Rafe and Hope. And everybody's like, Sammy don't give a damn what she did to Rafe and Hope. Everybody is like, we're not buying it. She comes busting in there. You found out right. You found out in the next episode as it picks up. You found out why she didn't come to the, why she wasn't coming to the wedding. You don't have to guess. She was like, I was drugged. She kept me away for weeks. She kidnapped me. And you're like, oh, this is the only reason why she wouldn't do that. And Sammy is filling in the blanks for everything. That's how you do a storyline. You could still do a mystery, but still give out some tea. I'm like, ain't nothing wrong with that. I just, like, oh, that Sophie's Choice that Kristen put Sammy in. I was like, girl, you are just heartless. And then that gun going off, I'm putting it out on record right now. Eric caused his mom
did it.
Eric did it. Yeah.
and Sammy's going to get blamed, but Eric did it.
Yes. And Belle's miserable ass going to suck. I did not like that promo. That promo now, see, the promo had.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Ooh, the promo for that, for this week. Let me tell you something, honey. I felt like that was old school Days. When Days did that one with Carly Knightsons, when they were like, she was the most desired woman in the world. And I was like, that old school promo, you know, the dude who does the Days promos, he also does MC Primetime's promos. I was like, is this shit some Law and Order type shit? Because I'm like, it sounded like a Primetime and it looked like a Primetime promo. I loved it. Eric needs to go to hell. I'm like, Eric, Sammy wasn't going to shoot her mama. You came in, grab that gun. The girl already doped up and then you jumping on her. I'm like, you caused her to be trigger happy. So I don't like that Belle and her funky ass slapped Sammy. I hope Sammy gets her wits to head butter. I don't like that. I don't like it to towel.
Belle was cracking up Bella in the middle of it anyway. If you noticed, like, during the week, the few scenes that Belle had, she was very demanding and very
miserable. You a miserable broad. Sit down.
Josh, what did you think of the wedding festivities?
I thought, I mean, there's a million things that I love, because this whole week is what folks, anybody who loves a good soap opera would most likely love this week. But what folks who are loyal to Days love, that there's crazy Days and then family conflict and love and unrequited love and all this stuff going on at the same time. That balance was this week, and it's why folks love Days of Our Lives.
I mean, Days gave you action. I said it on Twitter. Days gave you action. They gave you adventure. They gave you drama. They gave you comedy when Sammy came in there looking like a wet rat. And I was like, side note, girl, you have Demera billions at your disposal. Why are you dressing like St. John's Knits? I'm like, why are you guys
been held captive?
I'm like, that is really petty for Kristen to dress her in some St. John's Knits. I'm like, ooh, that's foul. I'm like, girl, why are you dressed like you had some bake sale? I'm like, come on now. Sammy used to be fashion forward, but it's like you said, she was held. But yeah.
They said that Allison Sweeney in one of the articles said that they spent hours getting her to look as fucked up as she was, with all those clothes being dirty and her looking all frumpy and stuff. So there's something there.
Because
there's
it's difficult to hide such natural beauty.
You need to sit down in that corner over there. But
I will just say Sammy was the highlight for me. That's all I'm going to say.
Of course it was.
Listen, I know you love Sammy. We all do, but it ain't the Sammy show. So, but I did like.
But everything, it may not be the Sammy show, but everything is made better with Sammy.
No, like, I mean, no, I'm not gonna put Days out there like that. Like, I hope they cuss you out. He is at Luke_Kerr. Kate, cuss him out. Don't come in my timeline. Cuss him out. Listen, the entire cast fucked that episode right up. That episode was fantastic. I'm not just gonna put it on one. They all did the damn thing in that episode. They all did. That episode, I just sat there and I was like, this is what a soap opera should be. This is what we all been fighting for them to do. We've been, you know, we want you to do this. This is what you used to do. I don't understand why some of them don't do that anymore. They all feel as though, oh, we have to go in this, like, we have to go one speed. They're like, you know, today's show is going to be all about drama, you know, or today's show is all about a comedy or camp or whatever. You can put all of them in there. There's nothing wrong with that. That's what daytime is all about. But that entire, everybody in that episode nailed it. When Kristen was reading Brady, saying how so self-righteous he was, and all of them, I was like, girl, like, yes, they are. I'm like, she was just reading them when she was trying to get Sammy to snap on John and be like, come on, Sammy, you know you want to shoot him. He busted up your family by nailing your mama on that conference table. I was like, conference room table. I'm like, woo, that was just fantastic. The old Sammy would have been like, ooh, you know, but Sammy is, as she said, she was like, John and I have gotten past that. Like, you're not going to do that. You're not going to mess with me. You're not going to do that. And then the Kristen had to say the magic word, EJ. I was like, Sammy was like, click, click. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute. Like, we need to hear both sides. That just had me hollering. Like,
Kristen was going through her Rolodex looking for the reasons that Sammy might shoot. And Sammy's like, no, try another one. Not that one. No.
She was looking for the bite button to push. And Sammy was like, girl, no. And then when she said EJ, she was like, oop.
There it is.
It was fantastic. It was amazing. That show was everything was great on that. And I like the fact that every day feels like a clip, like it always ends on a cliffhanger. You know what I mean? Like, everybody does the traditional Friday cliffhanger to be like, ooh, what's going to happen on Monday? Every day felt like a cliffhanger. And I enjoyed and adored that.
Mike, what did you think of the Will, Sonny, Paul story? I love the flashback. I love the connection that they share, but I sort of feel like Will and Sonny are first loves who are no longer meant for each other. What did you think of how that story played out?
Well, first of all, I think there's a part of me that has been watching Will for months now and sort of forgotten that he doesn't have all his memories because he's kind of created new ones and he's gone about his life as best he can. So for him to be standing up there saying these words about people that he didn't know, and then all of a sudden this transformation, it comes over his face because he starts to realize that he's remembering something that was really a big moment in his life. And so the little scamp leaves. And he goes out there, and it was nice for him and Sonny to share the moment again, but I agree with you. I don't feel the magic between them as much anymore. I like Will and Paul together. I thought Roman being quite honest with Sonny about how he felt, and then he just blatantly said that Will cheated, because a lot of times people in your camp will use different words, but he didn't. And then
that's how Roman rolls. Sonny's
sudden yearning for Will is somewhat a little disingenuous to me. I didn't like the way that he was
sudden
pressuring
yearning.
Will. I don't, you know what I mean? I just felt like
No, I don't. That's why I said sudden yearning.
I don't really feel like he's always felt that way. I mean, he had those feelings for Paul, and then he had them for Will, and then Will didn't want him, and then he just really kind of started going out with Leo, and then now all of a sudden, you know, he started all these feelings for Will, but the thing I don't really like the way they write Sonny, because he was a little overbearing and a little bit too much pressure on Will when he's trying to get all these things together and then get back to the wedding where he was needed. But it was just so nice just to have that one moment where they were on the same page, and Chandler Massey just brought it for me. I just thought that his emotions just let them come over him, and he just remembered things, and it was just really – and to have that happen at this moment during the week in the wedding was not something I expected. So it was a nice
Okay, so I have to rebuttal what you said about Sonny's sudden yearning. I feel as though Sonny's always had those feelings, but Sonny is the type of guy, if he sees that you're in a relationship with someone and he still has feelings for you, he's going to respect that you're in a relationship with someone and he is going to keep it to himself. I feel as though he still had feelings for Will. He was rebounding with... He definitely was rebounding with Leo. And we see how that ended up, child. And when he...
Rebounded him right off the mantle.
Yes. Yeah. He rebounded... Yeah, like he playing against Rodman or somebody. But I feel as though as soon as he and Will were working together, they, you know, the closeness and the bond that they had came back for him. I mean, it was still there, but that just made his feelings start to come out more and more, and he couldn't hide it anymore. And he tried to tell Will how he felt. Like, he was just desperate to tell Will how he felt, hoping that Will would return the feelings that he had. And Will was like, nah, son, I'm with Paul over here. I'm with Paul. Back up, Sonny. And Sonny went about his business. Will getting his memories back, I mean, I ain't got no dog in this race with the whole Will, Sonny, Paul jab. I really don't. I'm like, whatever. I don't care, you know. But
plus, Christopher Sean is leaving at some point, so.
Yeah, so I'm like, whatever. So, but I felt like while Will was trying to, you know, Will is trying to, you know, acclimate himself to this new lifestyle that he has. He ain't got his memories, so he's trying to move forward. Those memories are just assaulting him while he is at his grandmother's wedding, and he just cannot take it. Like, he is just like, it's just like bombarding him, and he's just like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know. He's trying to get through it to do a good job, do right by Marlena, but at the same time, he is like, my old relationship is coming back to me, but I'm with this great guy now. So he just does not know what to do with that. So it just overtakes him. And then when he's like out there and telling Sonny about his feelings and his memories, I thought that that was just so beautiful. I was like, oh my God, thought that was so sweet. I enjoyed it. I was like, it, you know, like I said, I ain't got no dog in this race, but I was like, oh my God, Will got his memories back. I'm so happy for Sonny. And then I'm like, oh shit, Paul is going to be fucked like Chuck and not in a good way either. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, oh man, oh man, oh man. I'm like, that is some good drama right there. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. The way how they led up to this was fantastic, because Sonny is trying to respect the fact that Will is like, look, I don't know you, girl. I don't know you. I don't remember you. I don't know you. Yeah, we were married, but son, I don't remember you. I'm with this dude now, so I'm trying to move on. Sonny was trying to be a nice guy and do right by Will and respecting that, but as they started working together, those feelings that he wanted, that old, as Jay-Z said, he want that old thing back. He was like, I want my man back. So I could see him pressuring him with that. I didn't think they were sudden yearnings. I feel as though he was just trying to keep it. He was just trying to keep a lid on his feelings. It was unrequited love, and he was trying to keep a lid on it. But when they were together, trying to cover up Leo's murder, you know, that's some shit that Will and Sonny is all too familiar with, covering shit up, you know. And it's too funny that the OG cover-upper is there, that just came stumbling in on the wedding while Will's getting his memories back. I'm like, this was perfect. This, I thought it was fantastic.
Josh, what'd you think?
I thought Will and Sonny, being that I'm not currently a huge Will and Sonny fan, I like Paul and Will together, but Will and Sonny, I remembered why I originally loved them this week. Chandler Massey again, everything that both Michael and Jillian have said, just being the washing over him of the memories, the being assaulted with memory after memory after memory, as Jillian said, he, write him down for Emmy nomination number 5, because he is...
Oh, that's his Emmy reel, child.
Totally. And Freddie Smith, whom I'm not always thrilled with his interpretation, woke up. Mm-hmm. Freddie Smith came right back in with Chandler Massey, and they were locked in together in that way that Sonny and Will, their chemistry was back. And I thought, there they are. They're Sonny and Will. I haven't seen them in a long time as a couple in that chemistry. And I remembered it was to, and to be playing that brilliant love story against the crazy that was going on next door at the wedding was classic Days of Our Lives. It was brilliant.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was. It was.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. You can find me on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. Mike is at MPJ24. Jillian is at Jillian Bow, and Josh is at Dr. Joshua 09. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.
Y'all get mean, mean, mean with Luke. Don't forget my time.